Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 to 26 is the text that we have read, that just man is the title of today's sermon. Twice it was mentioned in our text that Jesus was a just man by the wife of Pontius Pilate and by Pontius Pilate himself, the procurator of the province of Judea during the time of Christ. He was the governor that was in charge, and he was to try the case, and he found Jesus to be innocent, so he called him the just man. The Christian who lives in an unchristian world, upholding an eternal value system according to God's law, will often find himself being persecuted precisely because he tries to live righteously as a just man before God and men. If Jesus, the perfect man, the living and true God, had to suffer such persecution and humiliation by wicked men who reject God, then we realize that we who follow in the train of Jesus Christ, who wants to walk with God, who wants to live righteously before God, must be prepared to live with courage against a hostile, often hostile world. Jesus said, "You are sent as sheep among wolves." We are to be prepared to endure hardship because we love God and we want to live a truthful life before God and men. This was the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And these are the last days of his life. This is the Friday morning of his crucifixion. He'll be crucified by 9 a.m. in the morning. And here, our story is in the wee hours or early hours of the morning. If you have read our pastoral weekly, you would have seen the biblical character Daniel. How Daniel purposed as a young teenager not to defile himself with the pollutions of the Babylonian culture, and how God honored his faith and granted him wisdom that surpassed all the wise men in Babylon. You see how he would rather go to the lion's den than to stop praying to his God. Our Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the Father's will without retaliation, subjected himself willingly to death by crucifixion for a higher purpose, for a higher cause, to win our redemption. As our memory verse tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." After Jesus suffered for sins, died and rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, God protected Daniel in the lion's den and throughout his 80 years of life, serving in high places in pagan kingdoms. And today, you and I are placed in this era, and God has opened our spiritual eyes that we be Christians in this last of the last days before Jesus Christ would come. You would realize that the days ahead may be perilous. You may be asked to stand for your faith. And it is in those times that we have to have a prepared heart. Like Daniel, like our Lord Jesus Christ, to stand for the truth so that men and women may know the way to everlasting life. There is a purpose. God has chosen you to be a Christian. And you have the mandate to allow the power of God, the life of Jesus, to flow through you, to win many to righteousness by your life. What a high calling. What a higher purpose God has set for His people on earth. You have the privilege to be God's instrument of righteousness to impact souls for all eternity. But realize that the more you want to live humbly before God and man and to act justly, the more you will be hated, the more you will be scorned, the more you will be mocked, the more you will be ridiculed. Do not underestimate the wickedness of human heart. That is the flow of the sense of the passage that God wants us to see as we study this text. We see the picture of the depravity of man's heart when Jesus was brought to audience in front of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and how he would be rejected by his own people, especially the leaders of Israel who had the Old Testament scriptures, who ought to have known better. But these were the very men who incited the people to reject their Messiah. We know that there is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. And this man was so foolish. And yet today, you would see many who would reject Christ. If you would want to talk to them about Christ, well, they will tell you, go away. And sometimes they will be even very hostile, very angry with you. This man, this mob who was there at Jesus' trial, said, let his blood be upon us and on our children. They did not know, this is the last sentence of our text in verse 25. They did not know what they were saying. Somehow their hearts were influenced, perverted with a doctrine of the Messiah that was not to identify that man before them. How their understanding of Scripture is so warped that they would be so spiritually blind to reject the Messiah. And so we see here how they hated Jesus, how they would persecute him, how they would sought false witness against him and use the Romans to put him to death. And this is the story that we want to see here today. This is how it happened. Two thoughts. The unjust judge, 11 to 19, And secondly, the wicked incited mob, verses 20 to 26. You want to walk with God, you'll find that there will be many enemies surrounding you. And at times, you may be brought before unjust judges. And what do? During those times, no one, it seems, is able to plead your cause. You are alone. And you feel that there is nothing much any mortal man could do to help you. Well, realize that you have God with you. When you hold the name of Christ high in your heart, by your testimony, willing testimony, you find that there is a strength that God would give to you. And this is the strength that we want to see that possessed, that is in our Lord Jesus Christ when he stood before Pontius Pilate. You know that the ecclesiastical trial with the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, is completed. Right? Overnight they had that court, and the Jews pronounced him guilty, and they brought him early in the morning to Pontius Pilate's palace, or to his residence. Right? The Romans, they conduct their trials early in the morning, and so early in the morning as what you would see in John's Gospel 18 verse 28, that Jesus was brought from Caiaphas unto the judgment hall of Pilate. And our text in verse 11 says, and Jesus stood before the governor. And so this is the moment of truth. Our Lord would be sent to be crucified. And you know, this is a truth that God wants us to know. That indeed, our Savior, our Lord, was crucified on the cross on that fateful day by this man called Pontius Pilate. Who is this man? Well, if you read biblical history, if you read secular history, you would be able to identify this man. He was the ruler of Judea from AD 26. He was appointed the fifth governor by the emperor to come, and he came with his wife in order to rule over a very chaotic province. Right? There were many difficulties that he would face. And, you know, if you would study the biblical background, the historical context to Pilate, you'll be able to see how Pilate was a very rough man, a military man. He was a military commander, at the same time administrator. And prior to this time, there has already been a military action that Pilate instructed against the Jews. And many were quelled. If you read Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus himself, verse 1, Jesus mentioned concerning this episode, this event. And what else did Pilate do? Well, Pilate also was a man who took money from the coffers of the temple, what we call korban, gifts for the use of the temple to build an aqueduct, a 25-mile-long water pipe all the way from the southwest hills to Jerusalem in order to provide water. And the Jews were not happy, and there was some insurrection. So this is a background story that would help us to see a political situation that is before us. This is the governor there trying to rule, right? And God's people are subjected to that rule. Okay, and the Roman governor, they are the only people who can pronounce a death sentence. Okay? Now, Israel at that time, under the Romans, were allowed to be ruled or to have self-government. They were allowed to have their temple sacrifices. They were allowed to administer and judge over their own people, but they were not allowed to take the lives of anyone. Right? If it's a death sentence, it has to come from the Roman governor. And that's why we see here, they wanted Jesus dead. And that's why he is brought before Pontius Pilate. And it's very interesting to note that in the Apostles' Creed, the Apostles' Creed is a statement that describes the fullness of the gospel or the Christian faith, one of the earliest confessions, and it speaks about this man, Pontius Pilate, how he was the man who would put Jesus to be crucified, to die. Okay? So we are speaking about a real person, and we are speaking about a real event in which Christ was made to go through in order to bear our sins. And so the Lord wants us to be able to understand the political situation, the religious background behind all this. Right? You would find that, you know, we living in our world, in our time, well, we have our own governments and rulers to be over us. And you find that it is all these factors that comes together, right? This interplay of characters, of people, right, that mix up our spiritual journey. And here our Lord Jesus Christ himself was subjected to this trial. And what did Pilate ask Jesus? Verse 11 says, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" So he asked Jesus, "Are you truly the king that was prophesied?" You remember in the book of Samuel, it was given to David, the prophecy that a king would come to Israel whose kingdom will be forever. He will sit upon the throne of David. This is the king, Jesus Christ. His kingdom will be forever and ever. He is the Son of God, and he is that man who has come. And so Pilate asked the right question: "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest, you are right. He is the Messiah. He is the king." We all know that in his first coming, he would come as a suffering servant. But you saw him, right, 4 days ago through the eyes of Scripture, walked into Jerusalem or rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. And he was proclaimed the king. Indeed, he is the king. One day he would come, he would return, and he would rule in Jerusalem physically for 1,000 years. And this is a king that the people ought to know. And what did Jesus say? Thou sayest. This is the king. And God wants us to know and acknowledge this king. Verse 12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And so then comes the other side of the story. And so you see that when there is truth, there will also be falsehood. When there is truth, there will also be falsehood. And who is right? You realize that we, the children of God, must stand squarely, justly upon the Word of God, the revelation of God, which is our infallible guide. In Scripture, we stand. This is the Christ of the Bible that we uphold. This is the Christ, the gospel, by whom men and women is going to be saved. This we uphold. And so the Lord tells us, help us to see. And you see how our Lord truthfully acknowledged his deity before them. But they began to accuse him. And who are these? The chief priest and the elders. And when he was accused, he answered nothing. You recall in Isaiah's prophecy, it is described how the suffering servant would not reply. He would be dumb before his shearers. Indeed, as a sheep to the slaughter. And then Pilate said to him, verse 13, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And again Jesus did not answer a word. You see how Jesus stood so calmly before his persecutors, before the judge. He knew what he was doing. He understood what he was standing for. A 1,500 years later, there would be another man, Martin Luther, the reformer, the German reformer, who would also stand trial before the emperor in the Diet of Worms. And how he would have to testify the gospel, that this is the truth. Do not deviate from it. This is where men and women would find salvation. And dear friends, you'll find that the greatest contention that our generation will face is with the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is the Messiah? And you realize that when you have spent time to study this gospel, well, we have spent almost 2.5 years to study. May all this truth of God's word be sealed in your heart, that you have a conviction to know that this is the Messiah, this is the truth. And when you have to testify before men, you would stand. You would be able to stand. And so Martin Luther had this testimony. It is described how he spoke to the audience before him. This is a record. I this day, Martin Luther said, appear before you in all humility, according to your command, and I implore your majesty and your august highnesses, by the mercies of God, to listen with favor to the defense of a cause which I'm well assured is just and right. Yet, as I am a mere man and not God, I will defend myself after the example of Jesus Christ, who said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness against me. How much more should I, who am but dust and ashes, and so prone to error, desire that everyone should bring forward what he can against my doctrine?" And he says, "Therefore, most serene emperor, you illustrious princes and all, whether high or low, who hear me, I implore you by the mercies of God to prove to me by the writings of the prophets and apostles that I am in error. As soon as I shall be convinced, I will instantly retract all my errors and will myself be the first to seize my writings and commit them to the flames. What I have just said, I think I will clearly show that I have well considered and weighed the dangers to which I'm exposing myself. But far from being dismayed by them, I rejoice exceedingly to see the gospel this day as of old a cause of disturbance and disagreement." So he tells them that, "I know what I stand would cause trouble for many. But this is the truth. And this is the way to God through Christ. I have no other way. And I cannot but stand in this way." And so he tells them. He says, "I might cite examples drawn from the oracles of God. I might speak of pharaohs, of the kings of Babylon, of Israel, who were never more contributing to their own ruin than when by measures, appearances most prudent, they taught to establish their authority." And so he tells them that yes, he's outnumbered, but he knew that God is with him. And this we must have also, the kind of a conviction in our heart, to know who Christ is, to stand for the faith, to stand for the truth. Verse 15. "Now at that feast, the governor was warned to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." So it was Passover time. And, you know, Pilate understood. Three times he told the people, "This is an innocent man. This is a just man." Three times. John chapter 18, verse 38. John chapter 19, verse 4. John chapter 19, verse 6. Three times he says, "This is an innocent man." And his wife reminded him that, "I had a dream. And it was a terrible dream. Don't make that mistake of wronging a just man." And he took heed to his wife's caution, his wife's warning. And that's why, you know, Pilate was thinking hard in his mind what to do. He has just said he is the king. And, you know, as a governor, you are someone who need to make decisions. And you need to make sure that you know what you are doing. And I'm sure that he had his spies, he had his men tailing Jesus all this time to know who that man Jesus is. If he's really an insurrectionist, if he's really a man who is out there to create trouble, then he would have known. But I believe Pilate did his homework. And if we have followed through the life of Christ, you see that, you know, he was not a violent man in any way. Right? You remember when Peter took up the sword, he told Peter to put the sword back, and he healed the high priest's servant's ear who was cut off. And so Pilate understood, and he was trying his utmost to find a way, right, to help Jesus to get up. And one of the events that was taking place was, it was Passover. And it's a custom to free a prisoner. And Pilate chose this man called Barabbas. And Barabbas is, you know, is a murderer. He is someone who is tried for insurrection. He's the most wicked criminal that you can ever find. And he put him beside Jesus, hoping that the people would choose Jesus over Barabbas. But this was not to be. You see that he understood that, you know, in his heart and in all his findings, that really this man Jesus is a just man. And that he said. And yet, you know, he finds himself in a spot, right? The people were there, and the leaders were so adamant that Christ was guilty. And so you see here in our text how Pilate was finding a way out to save Jesus in a way. But you also see here that the people, especially the leaders, were bent. They were dead sure and very, very determined that Jesus must die. And it's very interesting if you would consider this man Barabbas. You know, his name means son of the Father. And Jesus Christ, who is the true Son of the Heavenly Father, ought to have been released. But this imposter, right, this wicked man, Barabbas, was chosen instead. And so we want us to see how, as a child of God, there are times when God would put us in an unjust situation. When you want to stand for God, you want to live for Christ, you want to uphold the truth, you want to be honest, you find that the world, the environment around you will not allow you. And you realize that you would be putting yourself in danger if you want to stand for the truth. There was one brother, he was out of job for some time, and he found a job, and he was asked to run a factory nearby, right, just across the causeway. And he was running the factory well, but one day he was asked to do something that he felt was not right. He was handed in a bidding situation, the competitors bid. So he said, "Yeah, what do I do with it?" Well, what he has to do is simply to add a little less and or a little bit more, and he would have won the bid. But he understood that, you know, he's not sinning against man, but he's sinning against God if he does that. And as a child of God, he cannot do that. And his conscience will not allow him. You know, and so his testimony was that, wow, very stressful. I put the Word of God in front of me, beside me, behind me, to remind me that I will not compromise. I am in that kind of a situation. And finally, he resigned. And he says that, thank God, I resigned. He had no regrets, although he had 5 mouths to feed. He understood that if he would walk justly before God, God would take care of him. And this is the challenge that we want us to see in this passage. If you want to live justly before God and men, you'll find that you will be public enemy number one. And so we see that you may face situations whereby you are in an unjust trial and you find that you have no way out. Well, then you have to trust God to do rightly. And the decision point is now. When you are sitting comfortably here, that you determine in your heart, just as young Daniel did. As a teenager, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart. Oh, the word there is so interesting. It's what we call the perfect tense, meaning that he determined by a determined action, a completed action. That's it. This is what I will do. I will not change my mind. And this is the kind of conviction that God wants his people to have in these last days. You'd rather come to church for worship than to go to a party, go to the beach on a Sunday, or being invited to go somewhere else. No. You say, I want to stand for my Lord. I want to worship him. I want to be a testimony for him. And so, you see here in this thought, right, the unjust judge. And you also see the wicked incited mob, verses 20 to 26. There were others, right, who were being incited. Right? Our text tells us, verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas. Ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, it's very ridiculous. This is a lawless man that they are choosing against a just man. And sometimes you may be put in that situation. You say, I'm right. I know I'm right. I know I'm doing the correct thing. And yet I'm in trouble. Should I capitulate? Should I be cowed to compromise my principles before God? Well, you see here the mob that is in front of us described here as being incited or persuaded. Now, the word there means a skillful ability to persuade people to one's way of thinking. Persuasive art, persuasiveness, ability to convince. Well, this was what was going on there. And you will find that when you are walking with God, well, there are some situations whereby God would allow you to go through such trials. And the Lord wants us to realize that the enemy can come in all directions. But the heart of it is that you
may be forced to compromise. Would you stand during that time? You see, our Lord Jesus Christ answered the right questions. You see Martin Luther speaking what he ought to say, and then he rests his case. Pilate was under pressure. You see that he chose a wicked man, and he thought that the crowd would choose Jesus over this wicked man, this murderer. And yet, you see the opposite taking place. The high priest and his helpers were the first to shout, "Crucify! Crucify!" That's the description that is given here, verse 21. The governor answered and said unto him, "Whether the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Very surprising. And Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" So Pilate is very clear. This is the Messiah. This is your Messiah. And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" So he pleaded with them. And we all know that Christ had to go to the cross. It was in the Father's will that he has to suffer in this way. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. His three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace. And we do not know what we will have to go through if we want to stand for Christ. But one thing we learn is this: to stand firm, to stand strong, to stand tall, to stand convicted before God and men. Not easy, but we have to, for our own soul's sake and for the many who will listen to our testimony and make a choice between heaven and hell. May God help us. May the Lord grant us wisdom and strength to stand for Him in a dark and perilous day. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for the just man Jesus, who went to the cross, the just for the unjust, that we, the sons of men, may be called the sons of God. O Lord, we thank Thee for all that You have done to win our salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank Thee for the example that we have seen of the perfect man. And yet, Lord, we see how perfect as He is, just as Jesus is, He was maligned, blasphemed, finally crucified. O Lord, may Thou prepare Thy people to be ready for trials of faith. O Lord, it may be in the home, amongst unbelieving loved ones. It may be in the workplace. Maybe in distant land, when God would send us as missionaries for the gospel. Lord, help us to stand for the truth, to dare to be a Daniel, to dare to stake all for Christ. O Lord, help us to understand and see your protection over us, that no harm can befall us unless it is by thy permission. And so, Lord, help us to rest strong and calm in thee in the face of trials. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.